B6010. June 28, 1910. Sanitarium, California. April 27, 1910. Elder Burden. Dear Brother, I wish to express to you some thoughts that should be kept before the sanitarium workers. That which will make them a power for good is the knowledge that the great medical missionary has chosen them to this work, that he is their chief instructor, and that it is ever their duty to recognize him as their teacher. The Lord has shown us the evil of depending upon the strength of earthly organizations. He has instructed us that the commission of the medical missionary is received from the very highest authority. He would have us understand that it is a mistake to regard as most essential the education given by physicians who reject the authority of Christ, the greatest physician who ever lived upon the earth. We are not to accept and follow the views of men who refuse to recognize God as their teacher, but who learn of men and are guided by man-made laws and restrictions. During the night of April 26th, many things were opened before me. I was shown that now, in a special sense, we as a people are to be guided by divine instruction. Those fitting themselves for medical missionary work should fear to place themselves under the direction of worldly doctors, to imbibe their sentiments and peculiar prejudices, and to learn to express their ideas and views. They are not to depend for their influence upon worldly teachers. They should be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Lord has instructed us that in our institutions of education, we should ever be striving for the perfection of character to be found in the life of Christ and in his instruction to his disciples. Having received our commission from the highest authority, we are to educate, educate, educate in the simplicity of Christ. Our aim must be to reach the highest standard in every feature of our work. He who healed thousands with a touch and a word is our physician. The precious truths contained in his teachings are to be our front guard and our reward. The standard set for our sanitariums and schools is a high one, and a great responsibility rests upon the physicians and teachers connected with these institutions. Efforts should be made to secure teachers who will instruct after Christ's manner of teaching, regarding this of more value than any human methods. Let them honor the educational standards established by Christ, and following his instruction, give their students lessons in faith and in holiness. Christ was sent of the Father to represent his character and will. Let us follow his example in laboring to reach the people where they are. Teachers who are not particular to harmonize with the teachings of Christ and who follow the customs and practices of worldly physicians are out of line with the charge that the Savior has given us. It is not necessary that our medical missionaries follow the precise track marked out by medical men of the world. They do not need to administer drugs to the sick. They do not need to follow the drug medication in order to have influence in their work. The message was given me that if they would consecrate themselves to the Lord, if they would seek to obtain under men ordained of God a thorough knowledge of their work, the Lord would make them skillful. Connected with the divine teacher, they will understand that their dependence is upon God and not upon the professedly wise men of the world. Some of our medical missionaries have supposed that a medical training according to the plans of worldly schools is essential to their success. To those who have thought that the only way to success is by being taught by worldly men and by pursuing a course that is sanctioned by worldly men, I would now say, put away such ideas. This is a mistake that should be corrected. It is a dangerous thing to catch the spirit of the world. The popularity which such a course invites will bring into the work a spirit which the Word of God cannot sanction. The medical missionary who would become efficient, if he will search his own heart and consecrate himself to Christ, may, by diligent study and faithful service, learn how to grasp the mysteries of his sacred calling. At Loma Linda, at Washington, at Warunga, Australia, and in many other sanitariums established for the promulgation of the work of the third angel's message, there are to come to the physicians and to the teachers new ideas, a new understanding of the principles that must govern the medical work. An education is to be given that is altogether in harmony with the teachings of the Word of God. In the first chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 2, we read, "Grace be unto you, and peace, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself." Study the whole of this chapter and grasp the assurances that are given again and again for your acceptance. It is a lack of faith in the power of God that leads our physicians to lean so much upon the arm of the law and to trust so much to the influence of worldly powers. The truly converted man and woman who will study these words of inspiration spoken by the Apostle Paul may learn to claim in all their depths and fullness the divine promises. I am charged to present these scriptures to our people, that they may understand that those who do not believe the Word of God cannot possibly present to those who desire to become acceptable medical missionaries the way by which they will become most successful. Christ was the greatest physician the world has ever known. His heart was ever touched with human woe. He has a work for those to do who will not place their dependence upon worldly powers. God's true commandment-keeping people will be instructed by him. The true medical missionary will be wise in the treatment of the sick, using the remedies that nature provides. And then he will look to Christ as the true healer of disease. The principles of health reform brought into the life of the patient, the use of nature's remedies, and the cooperation of divine agencies in behalf of the suffering will bring success. Satan will try to place barriers in the way of the true medical missionary. He will seek to bring discouragement upon those who recognize the commandments of God and are determined to obey them. We must be careful not to carry our views of health reform to extremes, thus making it health deform. Our food should be plain and free from all objectionable elements, but let us be careful that it is always palatable and good. A time will come when medical missionaries of other denominations will become jealous and envious of the influence exerted by Seventh-day Adventists who are working in these lines. They will feel that influence is being secured by our workers, which they ought to have. We should have, in various places, men of extraordinary ability who have obtained their diplomas in medical schools of the best reputation, who can stand before the world as fully qualified and legally recognized physicians. Let God-fearing men be wisely chosen to go through the training essential in order to obtain such qualifications. They should be prudent men who will remain true to the principles of the message. These should obtain the qualifications and the authority to conduct an educational work for our young men and women who desire to be trained for medical missionary work. Now, while the world is favorable toward the teaching of the health reform principles, moves should be made to secure for our own physicians the privileges of imparting medical instruction to our young people who would otherwise be led to attend the worldly medical colleges. The time will come when it will be more difficult than it is now to arrange for the training of our young people in medical missionary lines.